The Democratic Party is a party of many faiths. We support and defend a woman's right to choose a safe, legal abortion.
Let us, in the words of Scripture, hold firmly, without wavering, to the hope that we confess. Thank you. God bless you.
I am very pleased to introduce to you the next Vice President of the United States, Governor Sarah Palin of the great state of Alaska.
We believe that we are all made in the image of our Creator, by whatever name we call him or her.
Certainly the Christians of the first century, far too primitive to have considered abortion an issue. And after all, Jesus never said anything about abortion, so they probably didn't consider it an issue in that respect either. We'll find out whether or not that's true. You hear it so often, but here in a few minutes on Issues Etc., Dennis DeMauro joins us to talk about the early Christian views of abortion. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're coming to you live this Tuesday, September the 2nd. Coming off a long weekend, I want to know what Jeff did over the weekend. He had a very hot but exciting afternoon. One of these days, I heard, hanging out with John McCain, Sarah Palin, Mike Huckabee, and others. We'll find out about that in a minute. You can join us for the next 2 hours of the program. 1-877-623-MY-IE is our call-in number. 1-877-623-MY-IE. You can also email us right here in the studio. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Coming up a little bit later in the program, after our conversation with Dennis DeMauro, James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries will be our guest. We'll talk about two issues. He's written about both of them, Mormonism and their levels of heaven. They say there are three. And Joseph Smith and his strange interpretation of a rather obscene Egyptian god. After that, we'll be talking with Dr. Andrew Steinman. Today, the church remembers Hannah, this figure of the Old Testament. Dr. Andrew Steinman will be our guest. And then to round off today's program, Dr. Stephen Hine joins us to finally clear up, not once and for all, because this will always come back, to finally clear up the whole idea. What is Paul talking about when he calls himself a wretched man and says that he is enslaved to sin and talks about being at the same time a saint and a sinner? Well, the way Paul says it is, the things that I would do, the good that I don't do, the things that I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing, wretched man that I am. What does he mean? We'll answer that question a little later here on Issues Etc. 1-877-623-MY-IE or talkback at issuesetc.org. Jeff, tell me about what you did this weekend.
Well, let's see. Saturday, I watched my alma mater, the Missouri Tigers, beat the Fighting Illini. Exciting shootout.
Yeah, big deal.
42. Big deal. They're six in the country, pal. Six in the country.
Yeah, but they had to earn that one.
Well, no, we had the game. Illinois scored a touchdown at the end that made it a 10-point game at the very last play of the game.
No, they didn't have to even break a sweat.
No, actually they did. Their defense looked pathetic. Let's see, Sunday I took the two oldest, Justin and Emily, to the McCain-Romney-Huckabee-Palin rally, sat out in 90-plus degree, 100-plus humidity with no shade in a minor league baseball park for a couple hours, and went to that.
No, tell me what happened. I mean, I went to that. That's too brief a summary.
Well, it was a political rally, and
just be honest, who of all the people that you got to see, Huckabee, Romney, Palin, or McCain, which one really caught the crowd? Which one did the best?
Yeah, by far, Sarah Palin got the biggest cheers. I mean, she was she went over. It was very popular with the Missouri crowd. It was a very big crowd. I don't think they were expecting that big of a crowd.
And I understand that Justin, your oldest, missed a once in a lifetime opportunity to meet eyes with John McCain as he was driving by.
Yeah, they didn't let anybody know that you couldn't leave the stadium until now. People have been there for hours in this scorching heat. Okay. And so people, once it's over, except the people that are up front, they actually got to have a chance to shake his hand or something or other. Everybody else, like, bolted for the gates. But they wouldn't let you leave because they had the Secret Service didn't want anybody to leave till after the McCain entourage left. So so my kids are on this – I picked them up on this fence. They're, like, 5 feet off the ground, and they're holding on because we knew that the Straight Talk bus would be driving by them. And so they go by, and one of McCain's, somebody in McCain's bus, I thought it, it could have been Cindy McCain, I don't know, it's a woman, points to John McCain, my two kids, because we were kind of by ourselves, like hanging on like a bunch of chimpanzees on this fence. Yeah.
Typical of the Schwarz children.
Yeah, yeah. Now, my kids are apolitical, as is their father. But they're like, hey, he's like a movie star, you know, kind of thing. So they point out to my kids hanging on there. Well, McCain turns around. Now, my Justin was the one that really wanted to go to this thing. I mean, that's why I went. He really wanted to go to this rally. So I take him. Well, so McCain turns, looks right at both of them, and waves to them. Emily, my youngest, who could care less about going or anything, just one because her older brother, she smiles and waves. So I look up, Justin's looking the other way. Misses the wave from McCain to the Schwarz children.
And such an opportunity will never come again.
Yeah, and of course he said, we got to go to another rally.
So he can
actually
catch the senator's eye.
I will go to a rally with air conditioning and indoors and some kind of snacks or something.
Well, I thought about going, and then I stepped outside for a few minutes, and I said to myself, no, I don't think so.
Jeff, they have no snacks or no water during this event?
They did hang. They did pass out free water, but I already came with water. But I thought they'd have, like, concession stands open. You know, I went to the ATM. You know me, I never have money. I actually went to the ATM and had money. Was ready to buy things to eat and drink. Nah, there was nothing there. Nothing there. Just free water. Free water.
Well, we're going to talk about the early Christian.
What about you? What'd you do this weekend?
I mowed my grass. Barbecued last night. Saw no one famous, heard no great speeches. It was a very nice weekend.
Typical weekend at the Wilkin compound,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, typical weekend inside the Wilkin.
Well, your in-laws were in town. I met them Friday night after the show.
Yeah, they were there.
That's a big deal, Todd.
They're allowed in the compound occasionally, but they have a limited pass. And so by, what, Sunday morning after church, they had to leave. We sent them on their way. Dennis DeMauro is our guest for the first part of Issues Etc. today. He's Secretary of the National Pro-Life Religious Council and President of Northern Virginia Lutherans for Life. And he's author of the new book, Love for Life, Christianity's Consistent Protection of the Unborn. He joins us to talk about early Christian views of abortion. Dennis, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks so much.
Did the early Christians even think about abortion? After all, they didn't have Nayrol. They didn't have, all the pro-choice groups constantly bombarding them through a modern media?
Yes, actually they did talk about abortion because it was a problem then, as it is a problem today. So the more things change, I guess the more they stay the same.
Where did they record, if they did at all, their thoughts and how and their stance on abortion?
Well, I was just reviewing the chapter on the early Christian church and abortion, and it is kind of amazing how many church fathers actually spoke specifically about the issue of abortion. You have writings from Clement, from Tertullian, from Zeno, and so many others that are talking about this. And then you have church councils. You have so many church councils where they kind of decided what the penances would be for certain offenses, and the Council of Ancyra and the Council of Elvira and a number of these councils. So in two areas they really talk about it, in theological writings that are done by certain great theologians of the church and through their councils and actual canon law dealing with penances.
You, in previous conversations, you made reference to the Didache, this very early, author unknown type of a document from the earliest Christians. Does it say anything about abortion specifically?
It certainly does. The Didache goes through a litany of do nots, and one of them is, for instance, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not engage in pederasty. And one of them is do not abort a fetus or kill a child that is born. So it's a very it's a first century work, and it's very specifically against abortion, prohibiting it. So from the earliest times in the church, it's a definite sinful act that the church prohibits.
With only about a minute before we take our first break, Dennis, What was the practice of abortion in the first century Roman world?
Well, it was a liquid, a drink, abortive draft that they would give a woman. That woman would drink this draft, and unfortunately, she would often risk her life in doing that. Where did I have it here? I don't have it right here, but basically, what I think it was Jerome that said that, you know, a lot of times these women will die by attempting to do these abortions, because what you're doing is you're giving yourself a poison, and that is inducing a miscarriage. And so the idea was hopefully that the baby would die, but the mother would live. So it was extremely dangerous. And but the point of a lot of the early church fathers that I think is really important is that the Christian lifestyle in the first century was drastically different from the lifestyles of the pagan people. That is, they didn't do things that the Romans would do or the Greeks would do.
Let's talk more about this on the other side of the break. Dennis DeMauro is our guest. We're discussing early Christian views on abortion when we come back. What were they speaking against specifically? Stay tuned. On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc., Pastor Paul Kane, Ann Geyer, Rachel Woodburn, Drew Woodburn, Karen Linninger, Pastor Michael Scudder, Martha Peters, Gregory Dobesch, Ted Schopp, and Ray Jordan. Thanks for your support.
Issues Etc. is a team effort. Your phone calls, email, and snail mail help resurrect this worldwide outreach. Now we need your help to sustain Issues Etc. by making a gift to Lutheran Public Radio today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Help support Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the thinking Christian.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio.
Hello, I'm Olivia Gans, Director of American Victims of Abortion. In 1981, I was in college and pregnant. Afraid and confused, I looked to the abortion industry for help. What they didn't tell me was that my abortion would take the life of my baby and leave me empty and alone. They didn't tell me about the years of tears and grief that stay with you long after the abortion. What abortionists won't tell you is that abortion hurts women. This has been a perspective on life from National Right to Life. For more information, visit our website at nrlc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dennis DeMauro is our guest for about another 10 minutes, and then we're going to be talking with James White. Mormonism, they teach three levels of heaven. One of them hardly is heaven at all. And Joseph Smith seemed to have a very strange interpretation of an Egyptian god that, if you look at the actual inscription he copied from memory, is a little obscene. We'll talk about that a little later on the program. Dennis DeMauro is our guest, Secretary of the National Pro-Life Religious Council, President of the Northern Virginians for Life, and he is author of the new book, A Love for Life, Christianity's Consistent Protection of the Unborn. You were describing the circumstances, or at least the way that Christians located themselves in the culture of the Roman world with respect not only to abortion, but many other practices of that culture. Pick up where you left off, Dennis.
Well, you know, Christianity was quite a different animal, if you will, among the religions at that time. And it was known by other people, pagan people, that Christians would not, or Jews for that matter, would not expose their children to the elements. They would not perform infanticide. They would not have abortions. And this was a constant thing when responding to the pagans, the Christians would bring out. They would say, you know, we're accused of all these terrible things, but look, we're people that won't even have an abortion. We won't even do infanticide. And that was just common to people at the time. Another thing I was noticing, too, was that, you know, some of these things that happened in the first century in regards to abortion are so reminiscent of what's going on. Like I said, things change, but they kind of stay the same. And one of them was this line, which was from Clement. And Clement says this. He says that in order to hide their immorality, they use abortive drugs, which expel the matter completely dead, abort at the same time their human feelings. So I think even at that time, we know that there's just something terribly unnatural about abortion, and that it not only does it kill a child in the womb, but it does something to a mother. The mother knows instinctively that this is something that's just not natural and not right. And we're seeing that ramification of that today so much, this pain after abortion. So it's interesting to see that the same problem and the same damage that was occurring in the first century or second century is occurring today.
Some have argued that because these people had a less than accurate medical knowledge, I guess we'd call it today embryology, of what was going on in the womb from the time of conception until birth, that they really didn't have a solid basis for their opposition to abortion, even if they did oppose abortion. Your thoughts there, Dennis?
Well, they certainly did not have a very good idea of embryology. They had a strange kind of idea that there was almost like a liquid that would turn then into a baby. So it wasn't something that they had a good idea about. And today, of course, we know that this amazing amount of development occurs from even the earliest weeks and months of a child's development. But they still knew that something was wrong. You know, even though one of the things was is that they would say, well, is it murder to have an early term abortion? And there was some debate as to whether it would be considered murder. That is, if you could be executed for having an abortion. But there was no debate except for in a rare situation to save the mother's life of having an abortion. Every abortion from the moment of conception was completely seen as sinful and had penalties on it under the law. So I think that even though their embryology was wrong, they had no illusions of what was going on.
So they erred, even though they were unaware or perhaps had inaccurate ideas about gestation and whatnot, they erred on the side of protecting the unborn from the beginning.
Yeah, I think what they saw, they really saw it as a kind of, not only was it killing a child, but they just saw it as something that kind of adulterates the married life, or even the single life if it's occurring in a fornication situation. Let me read you another line that I thought was important. This was from Augustine's, and Augustine wrote On Marriage and Concupiscence around 420. He said, "I make it bold to say that either the woman is in some way the husband's harlot, or a man, the wife's adulterer," in talking about abortion. So it wasn't only just the idea of killing someone, it was also the idea that this is something that is just destructive to the marriage. And who can deny that an abortion is destructive to a marriage even today?
Finally then, this notion of, and you raise it in your last comment, marriage and procreation going together, was that something that was simply fundamental for the earliest Christians?
It really was, and it comes from the Jewish tradition. You know, it was common for people of the Romans, for instance, if they had their will created, they would say, okay, I want four kids, I want to split my inheritance four ways, and then after that fourth child, they would just expose them or abort them. And that was a common practice, and everyone knew it. In fact, they were very confused why the Christians wouldn't do that. That they were people that would keep having children, and no children were aborted. They were all seen as a blessing from God. So it's just really part of the Christian faith that we know that God is active in the creation of children. It's a blessing, and that we should be thankful instead of trying to get rid of extra offspring. So marriage marriage and children go together in Christianity.
Dennis DeMauro is Secretary of the National Pro-Life Religious Council, President of Northern Virginia Lutherans for Life, and he's author of the new book, A Love for Life, Christianity's Consistent Protection of the Unborn. You'll find information on this book, A Love for Life, under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. IssuesETC.org. Click on demand and you'll find more on A Love for Life by Dennis DeMauro. Dennis, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you very much.